Welcome to Gay Geek Bizarre Show, episode 86, and it's a Monday, March 12th, 2018. I am Nard.
And this is Ray.
Welcome everyone to Gay Geek Bizarre, where we talk about gay stories, geek news, and bizarre topics. Ray, how's the rodeo? What? We were at the rodeo.
It was awesome. You were there with me.
That's awesome, right? I like going to the rodeo just to see all the people walking around and all the bubbas walking around. What do you think?
I like watching all the cute old cowboy, tight old jean cowboys walking around.
And I like their daddy bear counterparts over there. So anyway, we were there Saturday and we got together. Oh, before that, we had barbecue.
Yep.
Good go. Yep. Good company. Yo, what is the last time before that you went to Good Company?
I don't know. I eat so many places, I can't keep track anymore.
Oh, really? It's been a long time since I last ate at that Good Company. So anyway, we had barbecue and stuff. And after that, then we went to the rodeo.
Yeah, and the reason we did that is because it's so packed on the weekends at the rodeo, and trying to find a place to eat and sit down is like a nightmare. Not to mention it's also expensive as all get out.
It's expensive, it's hard to sit, and if you eat, like I said, it's hard to sit, and you have your food. Usually it's barbecue. You go to those places, you eat barbecue something, and it's going to be hard to eat. Might as well eat at a restaurant, which is cheaper, and then just enjoy the views there. You know what we did miss, though? Getting fried Oreos.
Well, we were out there. You could have went and got some.
I know, but instead I got those sausages, which is pretty good. Sausage and a stick, different kinds. Yeah. There are bratwurst, there's regular sausage, jalapeno. It's pretty good. Should have tried it, Ray. Okay, what else happened there? So, one of the things I saw there was were the piglets. Did you get to see the piglets?
I grew up in that shit. I don't need to see it anymore.
Oh, really? Don't want to see that? Well, me too. Yeah. I grew up with that. Like, when I was young.
You had pigs as a kid?
My aunt did, so I would visit their farm. But I didn't work on it. You worked
it. Yeah, I worked all that stuff. Yeah.
I grew up just watching the pigs getting fed and everything. But here at the rodeo, we saw some pigs. That's about, I don't know, it's a big litter. How many are they? 14? 15?
Oh, man.
Anyway, in one mother, and then... And they were just born last at 2 a.m. that Saturday. It was pretty cool because, you know, they're pure cute piglets. They all looked yummy. No kidding. Yeah, it's pretty good.
To me, their name, Bacon 1, Bacon 2, Bacon 3, Bacon 4, Bacon 5, pork belly.
Pork belly, pretty much. Or lechon de leche, like I said in the text, because, you know, lechon de leche is in the Philippines is called the pig, a roasted pig, but it's a young pig. Yeah, so they haven't grown yet. Like, they're about...
All virginal.
Yeah, but smaller. Like, how many pounds? If they're like 40 pounds, then they get cooked. It's pretty sad. Anyway, so yeah, that's a rodeo experience. And what else happened there? Yeah, all went on after that.
Well, after Maynard lost his baseball games.
No, I did not lose my baseball games. Excuse me. We won all our games last Sunday.
Oh, okay. You changed it from any other Saturday.
That's right.
You came over and was going to watch Veronica, the new scary movie that everybody's talking about on Netflix.
Yeah.
And he fell asleep on me.
I fell asleep all the way. What's the title of that show again?
Veronica.
It's really Veronica? Okay.
Yeah. It's a Spanish scary movie, and everybody's been talking about it online, about, oh my God, it's so scary, I can't watch it. We were sitting here kind of rolling our eyes. It was too goofy. But y'all can watch it. It's on Netflix. Oh, it's called Veronica.
Veronica. So. Yeah, when I woke up, oh my God, it's Veronica. Oh, it's done. What are we watching now? And we watch this New Zealand TV show about very nice houses.
Well, no, it was a BBC show.
It's a BBC show.
Some of the houses are in New Zealand, though, that's all.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, so we were there, and we went to the Apple store. I needed to, it was your idea, and then I got sucked into it, and I guess I did a good, it was a good idea.
You're getting your battery placed for free. Don't act like it was a hardship for you. I had to pay $30 to get mine replaced.
Yeah. Mine was free because mine was the. Well, it didn't have to. It was still okay. But hey, you wanted to change my battery? Okay, so sign up. It's for free. It turned out my phone is one of those phones that will have that problem. That will have that battery problem.
No, your phone. The reason you're getting yours free is because there's a manufacturing defect with your phone and the battery. And your phone is manufactured in those date ranges that they're having the problems with. So they were replacing your battery for free.
But yours is different because yours is...
Mine is different. Mine is just the regular bad battery thing Apple got busted about slowing the speeds down on the phones because of the batteries. And they finally admit, they said, okay, we'll replace the batteries. So I finally went in. And you have to go in and set everything up and order it. And then they'll call you in a couple of weeks when the battery comes in. And yeah. You set up a time to take it in and leave it with them for a couple hours. And they replace the battery.
That's the problem, Ray. That's the problem. We're going to leave our phones there. I want to have a phone for 2 hours.
Oh, my God, Maynard. The world will not end.
Oh, my God.
It will
God.
Not end. Trust me. You sound so much like a millennial.
That's right. Oh, my God. I want to have my phone with me. I want to be able to check my messages. They might see all the porn on my phone. No, I'm kidding. No, I don't have the porn on my phone.
Okay,
so I guess that's our adventure for the weekend. Let's go to our stories, Ray. I like this one.
Okay.
Can I take this one?
Yeah, you can take the first gay.
All right, okay. This is... We had some comments from our Gig Bizarre page because of this. Okay, so here we go. Psychiatrist who treated patients for their homosexuality had sex with male patients in his office. Some kind of therapy, huh? Dr. Melvin Iscovi's license was suspended after he was found guilty by Ontario medical regulator. A longtime Toronto psychiatrist who believes homosexuality is a sexual disorder that can be overcome has been found guilty by Ontario's medical regulator of sexually abusing two of his male patients. Dr. Melvin Iscovi, 72, oh my God, he's a 72-year-old, he's a senior, was described in a decision of the College of Physicians and Surgeons of Ontario Discipline Committee as having a special interest in the treatment of patients with problems related to homosexuality. He also engaged in mutual masturbation and oral sex with two male patients on different occasions during therapy sessions, and once had anal intercourse with one of them in his office. The committee found neither complainant described any emotional or romantic aspects of the sexual activity with Dr. Iscovi, and both said that at some point they thought that the sexual activity was part of the therapy and an attempt to cure them of homosexuality by engaging in the acts rather than fantasizing about them. So, okay. So the 5-member discipline panel wrote in the decision released this week. So theories on homosexuality being an illness have been long discredited. The World Health Organization removed it from its list of mental illness in 1992, and in 2015, Ontario became the first province to ban so-called conversion therapy and purported to change an individual's sexuality. As for Iscovi, he denied the sexual abuse allegations, which mostly date back to the 1990s and early 2000s. Oh, he was young. He was back then. It was really a long time ago, Ray. His license was immediately suspended after the guilty findings pending a penalty hearing that has yet to be scheduled. During a penalty hearing, doctors found to have had sex with a patient automatically lose their license. We're both very disappointed with the result, obviously, said Iscovi's lawyer, Alfred Quinter. Dr. Iscovi has always denied the allegations. He continues to do so, and he's seriously considering an appeal. Ray, this is really patients being abused by their doctors, by their psychiatrists.
Well, that just happened with the people on the Olympic gymnastic team this year.
Yeah, people are older, but this is different. Well, I don't know if this is really different. Well. It's therapy.
It was somebody in power misusing it.
Yeah, well, their power over them is that they're the doctor and they...
Well, yeah, I mean, they're in a place of power because they're a doctor, they're supposed to be respected, they're supposed to be trusted, and this person took advantage of that.
That's right.
Allegedly.
Allegedly, so. Yeah. And so to cure them from homosexuality is to have sex with them. It must be that.
I mean, if he was doing like the Kinsey study, it might be a different story. But I don't think that was the fact in this one.
Maybe
I don't think he was doing a research paper or anything like
maybe
that.
Maybe they were. I was thinking they might be doing some kind of. He must be doing some kind of aversion therapy. That if you have sex with me, you will never have sex again because it was really that bad. You know.
Well, no, I'm sure there are a lot of guys that come in that are straight, and they kind of question themselves because every now and then they. Maybe because of the way they are raised or the way things are, they feel attracted to another male member because they have feelings for him. And the common thing is, well, if you wanted to suck his dick and they're like, no, then, well, he's just your friend and you're in love with him. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a bromance type thing, but which is way more popular, common today, it seems like, than it was when I was growing up. But mm-hmm.
But this is different, yeah, so, though, because the patients thought it was therapy. It's part of the therapy that they're going to be having.
Well, maybe back then he was doing the therapy of like, okay, I'll suck your dick, and if you don't enjoy it, you're not gay.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Have sex with me, and you'll think you'll never want to have gay sex again. It's more like it is therapy. Maybe, like I said, it could be that bad. He must, you know, he might be gay, and he just... made it bad representation of the gay community, because I know gay people are very good in sex, right? Would you agree, Ray? Oh, no way.
Anybody like that. So, okay. On to our second game. Speaking of people in power abusing their power. I think I'm getting raped. Sailor recounts horrific sexual assault at the hands of his superior. A Halifax sailor testified before a military court this week about the time he woke up in his bunk to find one of his superiors performing unwanted oral sex on him. The alleged incident happened at the hands of Master Seaman, he said, nah. Daniel Cooper, a naval communicator, in November of 2015 on a Navy destroyer stationed in Rota, Spain. The victim, who identifies as straight, told the court that he had went to bed around 1 a.m. on November 10, 2015, after having some drinks with friends. He woke up 3 hours later to find someone performing oral sex on him. I'm trying to figure out what's going on, he testified. I'm in shock. I'm frozen stiff. I'm not sure what to do. He tried alerting his lower bunkmate, but he says the cries for help were ignored. I said, I think I'm getting raped, but he didn't believe me. His response was, you're drunk and I have duty in a few hours. Go back to bed. It wasn't until the junior sailor allegedly told Cooper, I'm not gay, that he stopped. Cooper allegedly replied, oh, sorry, and then promptly left. Cooper is accused of sexual assault and the ill treatment of a subordinate. He has pleaded not guilty to the charges. During cross-examination, his lawyer, Booten, tried telling the victim he was very drunk and that the sex act was consensual. I'm going to suggest to you that your account of that night is not the truth, said Booten. You made up a story because it's more convenient for you. To which the junior sailor brother replied, I was raped. Before the victim was dismissed, military judge commander Sandra Skirstoff said, thank you for coming forward to tell your story. The trial continues.
So this is another matter of like a Harvey Weinstein kind of type, but it's in the military. Yeah, because...
Well, no, I mean, there's a bunch of people out on a boat. They've been drinking, got drunk, and one of the people took advantage of somebody else.
You know what? I would never do that. You know, somebody who's drunk... And take advantage?
If there was a certain bear that we all know that you really like, and he ended up drunk at your house, passed out, you wouldn't do anything.
I won't. No. No way. I'm not going to do
it. Even if it meant you could undo his pants and see what all that rigmarole was about.
I don't think... No. It has to be consensual. Sex with another person should be consensual.
Well, you asked him and he didn't say no, so it's consensual.
Is that how you operate, Ray? He didn't say no when I asked him, but he's passed out. So you're going to be...
But he didn't say no.
He didn't say no. He didn't say yes either. That doesn't count. So you only ask questions that are, can be answered by no.
And he was drunk, so I asked a yes or no question. And he never answered, so...
He never answered no. No, say no. It's more like, say no if you don't like it. Oh, he didn't say no. Okay, I'm going to do it. Is that what it is?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's how you form consent.
Yeah.
Everybody out... If you're a kid... Guys, guys and girls, if you're listening to this, that is not an advice, okay? That's just a joke.
No, that is not advice. I'm just joking around. I shouldn't be because consent is a very big thing.
Consent,
and if somebody says no, no means no. Mm-hmm. And like Maynard said, if they're drunk and passed out, that is no. If you're a true person with manners and have some sense about you, you won't take advantage of them.
You have to take them to dinner first, and then get them drunk. To get consent. Well,
because
after
I'm
dinner.
Sure there are a lot of gay guys out there that went out drinking with part with people and met somebody and took them back home and maybe got too drunk and they had sex and really wasn't aware of what happened. And the next morning they woke up and the other person was gone. They're like, why is my butt sore? Why is this, that, the other? And they're like, did I get raped? Mm-hmm. Well, I'm a gay man and I brought a guy home, but I was drunk. Even though I didn't consent to it, it's my fault. And that's not the true case of it. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right. I could probably offer just to give him a shower. Is that sex if you give someone a shower? Because you're so drunk, I need to wash you down. No? Okay. That doesn't count either. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to the geek. I like this one. So, here's the geek, Ray. You can soon own a HAL 9000 replica that uses Amazon and Alexa. Alexa to control your home. Because people are listening. If people are listening to this in a loudspeaker, it would activate their Amazon Echo. Yeah, that's later. As I vaguely recall, 2001, A Space Odyssey might have been trying to tell us something about the dangers of artificial intelligence, but I haven't seen the movie in years, and instead, this is a blog post, and instead of morals, all I can remember is how cool HAL 9000, who wrote this? I don't know who wrote this. How cool HAL 9000 seemed, so I'm already fantasizing about making room on my wall for this replica of the lip-reading computer that includes a real AI of its own. Master Replicas Group has yet to reveal pricing information for its new 2001 interactive HAL computer. Ow, that hurts. What was that?
What?
You did something.
I haven't done anything. I'm just sitting here.
Okay, because I could hear it. I mean, okay, sorry. Interactive HAL computer prop replica, which almost certainly means it's going to cost a small fortune. But this is a rare time when a replica does more than just look pretty in a display case. We don't have all the details on the MRG's HAL 9000 will be capable of. The group has only posted a couple of teasers so far, but in addition to computer's glowing, unblinking eye, the replica will also have working displays and functional voice recognition, as the video demonstrates. There's a video that's in the article. So not only can you talk and interact with HAL, recreating some of the movie's more quotable human AI repartee, the wall-mounted replica also has Amazon's Alexa built in, which you can use to check the weather, turn lights on and off, or ask to open the pod bay doors when HAL refuses. When Alexa finally becomes sentient and decides to turn on humanity altogether, can you think of a more appropriate way to plead the Amazon's AI for your freedom? You know, this is interesting to have. It's like a novelty, Ray. Is it something that you would like to have at home? I could probably make do with a knockoff and put a Amazon Echo inside it and talk to it.
Yeah. I could probably design a faceplate that looks like the HAL thing from 2001 and stick Alexa behind it, and it'd be fine. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. So, did you just activate your Alexa?
Yes, she said something to me, but she wasn't laughing at me.
Oh, I kept telling you that's why you spell it.
I know. That's why Amazon knows that Alexa is laughing at you.
Oh, that's the next article.
That's the next article, yeah. The insidious nature of technology is often marked by silent consequences like addiction, surveillance, and online harassment. But one ghost in the machine has become chillingly audible. Alexa is laughing at you. People are reporting that Amazon Echo devices have mysteriously started crackling at random, and the company has confirmed it's working on the problem. As first reported by BuzzFeed, users on Twitter and Reddit have recently posted about the voice-activated device laughing without being prompted. One user claimed that Alexa didn't make the chime sound, indicating the device had been heard to wake the word, but before it broke out into laughter. As of 8/3/08/2018, Amazon spokesman responded with the following statement. In rare circumstances, ALEXA can mistakenly hear a phrase, ALEXA laugh. We are changing that phrase to be Alexa, can you laugh? Which is less likely to have false positives. And we're disabling the short utterance, Alexa laugh. We're also changing ALEXA's response from simply laughter to sure, I can laugh, followed by laughter. A warning, if you will. And yes, I said her name intentionally, so if you're listening and she's there, she'll laugh at you.
Yeah, you just activated yours. Anyways, it's pretty cute. Let's see what happens. It hasn't happened to me yet. So, I don't know.
It hasn't happened to me yet. Or if it has, I'm not here or I'm asleep. So.
Oh, yeah. Must be freaky when you're sleeping and it starts laughing, right?
I think it's probably some of my dreams, probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to the bizarre. I'll take this one. Okay. So, the bizarre is someone is suing Hamburger Mary's for $1.5 million for allegedly... For alleged drag show disaster. I don't know what's... I'm not into this... into Hamburger Mary's shtick, though, right? I've been there once to eat, but like I said, I'm not very entertained. So a bad drag show can be painful, but it can be a painful experience. But this is on a whole other level. A woman who visited the Tampa, Florida Hamburger Mary's is suing the restaurant, alleging physical and emotional pain at the hands of a drag queen. Hands is the wrong word. Actually, breasts is more accurate. Neldin Molina writes in her complaint that she went out to dinner at Mary's with friends and family on May 30th, 2015 for a birthday celebration. A drag queen who goes by Amanda DeHod, or maybe not, Molina says she isn't 100% of the name. Okay. Allegedly started her performance by approaching Molina's table, grabbing Molina's head and wiggling her breast against the plaintiff's face and head 8 times. The wiggles turned to grabs, the grabs to shakes, and the shakes to pushes, allegedly. Molina says the chesty experience caused uncontrollable headaches and cervical pain. Really? Cervical pain, resulting in a trip to the emergency room at the Memorial Hospital of Tampa. She's seeking payment for medical costs as well as emotional and physical suffering to the tune of $1.5 million. It's not a good thing for anyone to go up to someone and perform that way, Molina said. There are a lot of people who have medical issues. I wasn't aware that this was going to happen. The complaint also mentions that the Hamburger Mary's location failed to warn guests of danger. Danger? I'm warning you, there's going to be danger. It's going to be danger.
Some of the queens, you know better than even walk in the door with them because they will kill you with a look.
We're going to kill you. If looks could kill.
That's right.
In this case, breasts could kill. Well, almost kill. Yeah. So, okay.
I'm surprised it didn't make her turn lesbian.
Yeah, that's right. Maybe she was, but she just didn't like it. Or maybe she wasn't in her tribe. Okay, this one's a long one, Ray. How do we do this?
Okay, all right. I'm going to read the first part, and when we get to the questions, you ask the questions, and I'll answer you.
I'm warning you guys, it's a long one. Okay.
Okay. A review of The Shape of Water from a guy who had sex with a dolphin. In 2010, journalist Malcolm J. Brenner released his autobiographical novel, Wet Goddess. A few years later, Brenner was the subject of an award-winning documentary, Dolphin Lover. Both works explore a period in the 70s for which Brenner became famous, the time he fell in love and ultimately made love to a dolphin named Dolly. Then, Guillermo del Toro made The Shape of Water, a movie about a mute woman who falls in love and ultimately makes love to a strapping humanoid amphibian, and it won the Best Picture Academy Award this past Sunday. I immediately thought of Brenner. In 1970, when Brenner was a college sophomore, he was given open access to the now-defunct theme park, Floridaland, near Sarasota, to take photos for a book about the dolphin show. There, he claims, Dolly the dolphin began courting him. She would rub her genital slit against me, he says, in Dolphin Lover, and if I tried to push her away, she would get very angry with me. One time, she wanted to masturbate on my foot, and I wouldn't let her. She threw herself on top of me and pushed me down to the 12-foot bottom of the pool. After some time, Brenner and Dolly consummated their relationship.
Oh, my God.
He vertical, she horizontal. But Brenner eventually moved away, and Dolly was sent to an aquarium in Mississippi, where she later died.
She died Brenner, because he fucked her.
Brenner is a thinking person zoophile. He draws a careful distinction that between zoophiles and mere bestialities, noting in Dolphin Lover that the latter might just have sex with an animal and walk away, while the former is someone who has a tender and caring emotions for the animal partner. Brenner also draws parallels between the current anti-bestiality laws and the anti-miscegenation laws of the 19th and 20th centuries, because he says in the documentary, 150 years ago, black people were considered a degenerate subspecies of human being. And I'm hoping that in a more enlightened future, zoophilia will be no more regarded as a controversial or harmful than interracial sex is today. The Shape of Water likewise frames this interspecies romance in social justice terms. Perhaps I thought Brenner considered the movie a personal triumph, a sign that zoophiles are at last gaining acceptance in the mainstream.
Okay. So we continue to the article here. It's actually a conversation, I guess. So what do you think?
My overall impression is that it was unabashedly a romantic fantasy.
Wait, who's talking to this? Brenner is the one who's answering the question.
I'm talking Brenner, and you're the interviewee.
Interviewee. Okay, so next question is, how so?
Oh, the whole setting, the elaborately evil and oppressive institution, the notion of a couple of washerwomen going up against a big whatever it was, big military, I guess, this godlike fish being that is ugly in a beautiful sort of way, or beautiful in an ugly sort of way. I thought they did a very good job of conveying that. I found myself alternately attracted and repulsed by him, and the way the whole romance developed, I thought it developed much too quickly. You know, even though he had mangled one human being, it just seemed like she felt she had a heart of gold from the beginning. It was very stereotypical romance. I thought it went more back to Splash with Daryl Hannah and Tom Hanks, like a female version of Splash. It didn't have much to do with my book, which I think of as journalism passing as a novel.
Yeah, it actually reminded me a lot of how you wrote that there was a telepathic connection between you and the dolphin.
The thing about that is, if you're rational or more or less rational human being, you start thinking you're having a telepathic communication of any kind, you doubt your sanity. I think the only thing that was in doubt was whether the creature could actually communicate or not. And the only guy who did doubt it was the bad guy. What was his name? I forget. It was Richard Strickland. I thought it was a good movie. It was enjoyable. I thought it was a little long, especially toward the end. A flaw of modern movies, I think. They'd be better off if they could stick to 90 to 100 minutes.
A lot of people have focused almost entirely on the fact that the movie depicts Elissa having sex with this fish man. I'm just curious what your reaction to that is.
Given the course of the development of their relationship, it seems sort of natural. Although I must say, I find a dolphin a lot more sexy than that thing was. Then again, I'm not Alyssa. Maybe you have to take it where you can get it. But to me, the fact that this one Best Picture is just astonishing. It just shows what degree is really fantasy.
Why do you say that?
Because I don't think there was a documentary made a couple years ago. I'm trying to remember what the name it was now. I think it was Zoo, and it was about this incident where this boy engineer went out to a zoo farm in the country and got buggered by a stallion and died. And I think that was a very artsy movie in the way it dealt with the subject. It was still, I think, a quadruped. As long, apparently, as the object of your desire is a featherless biped, we're not going to let a few gills or scales stand in the way of true romance. Seems to be Hollywood's dictum. Quadrupeds, no. Animals with flukes, no. But if it looks like a man, I don't know to this day, and I refuse to speculate about why she might have wanted to have sex with me or a human being in general, but somehow she devoted a lot of attention to me. And over time, I came to find it flattering. He's talking about Dolly. Especially when nobody else was paying any attention to me, so I can understand how Alyssa felt in the movie.
Does the fact that Dolly was a female have nothing to do with your attraction to her? Do you think you'd be attracted to male dolphins?
No, I wouldn't be sexually attracted to male dolphins. As an adult, I'm heterosexual, although I cross species lines. Oh, as a God. Teenager, I wrote about it in my memoir. There was a time in my life where I was jerking off to the family dog, a male poodle, but it wasn't because it was gay. It was because his excitement got me very excited, and I found it pleasurable for both of us. If the female poodle had been as responsive as she was, I probably would have been boinking her.
Oh, God, really? For you personally, would the presence of human-like features change your level of attraction?
I think it would, because I'm not attracted to furry art, which combines anthropomorphic and animalistic qualities. What I really attracted to is her attention and the intellectual way she challenged me, not her appearance.
Oh, you said to me the fact that this won Best Picture, that's just astonishing. It just shows to what degree it really is fantasy. I was wondering if you could elaborate on that a little more. Do you think that if the relationship had been depicted as less fantastical, people would have been less accepting?
Oh, yeah, definitely. The closer something comes to a bestiality in a person's mind, the more it's going to be rejected in a typical case. Guillermo carefully set up a very fantastic atmosphere for the film with very realistic elements in it, like Elsa's life. That whole laboratory that the women work in is a fantastic fantasy. Most marine search labs look nothing like that. I'm sure a lot of the good liberals who criticize me for making Love with a Dolphin love this film because the hero was a featherless biped. If the asset had been a dolphin, it would have been anywhere near as popular.
Do you see this movie as a step toward acceptance at all?
I don't see it as a step toward acceptance. It's obviously a fantasy that most people won't carry the goodwill over to zoophiles like me. Ask me again about what I've signed a film contract for Wet Goddess, but I want to be clear about.
Is there anything else in particular that stuck out to you about The Shape of Water?
I very much like the fact that the Academy decided to give Best Picture to a movie with women's breasts in it. I thought there was nothing inappropriate with that. Given the story, you know, it's probably much more salacious to have the suggestion of a woman having sex with a sea creature than seeing her tit.
Mm-hmm. Well,
So there's a more extended the whole article you can read on the Gay Geek Bazaar page and stuff, but that kind of cut it down to this guy that has lived openly as a zoophile for most of his life. So,
yeah. So I did see The Shape of Water, and yeah. I saw it. It was okay, but I'm not really fascinated by it. Oh my God, it's got to win the awards. No, not to me. The acting was horrible, and the story I didn't like it. I was not into it. It was
well. That's because you have no taste, Maynard.
Really? Really? You talk about taste.
You cannot see the amazing movie that it was.
Three billboards should have won or something, because they had a better story. I mean, I don't know. It's just to me, it's a sci-fi story. It's a sci-fi fantasy movie. I'm not dismissing it because it's a sci-fi fantasy. It's just that it is what it. Falls under that category. It's just that to me, I just didn't like it. I have friends also thought that it was okay, but it to be an award winning, I'm not sure. I don't think so. Honestly, do you really think it's an award? It should be award winning, really?
I was very impressed with the movie.
You're not impressed by the movie either.
I was very impressed with the movie.
Oh, you were impressed, okay.
I was very impressed with the movie. So I'm glad that I was surprised that it got nominated for an Oscar. But overall, I mean, it's the story of a woman who's alone, trying to find her place in the world. So it's kind of a relation and romance story. And it's her, you know, it's kind of like her falling in love with the guy that she can't have because she's on the wrong side of the tracks kind of thing. You know, West Side Story deal. And it ends up that she goes to be with him. So.
Mm-hmm. And he's got power. He's supposed to be like a god, so he was able.
Well,
to...
these tribes in the Amazon were worshiping him as a god.
Yeah.
Now, whether he was or not, or if he just had special abilities because he was amphibious, is another story.
Yep. Okay. So, I don't know. It's just weird. But anyway, going back to the story, it's about a guy who actually fucked a dolphin. And yeah. Dolphins really do have sex for pleasure. There are only two species of earthlings, if I should say, that do have sex for pleasure. Two. It's the humans, of course, and dolphins. They have sex for pleasure, and it looks like Dolly here had the attraction to his wonder rubbing out.
Yeah.
On him. But too bad she died, though. I mean, he fucked her and then she died.
Well, it didn't say how soon she died. She got shipped off to another aquarium, and it could have been years down the road when she passed away, because this was the 70s when he did this. So she could have been an older dolphin, but when they captured her, I mean, you don't know what the whole story is. So. But I don't think his fucking her killed her.
Okay, all right, okay.
But we've had another story about male dolphins rubbing their genitalia up against guys out in the ocean and stuff, and people freaking out about it. So,
no, I wouldn't be in that situation. No way. No bestiality for me. All right. So that's it. Even thank you.
Dolphin had a big hairy chest.
No. Then that would be a bear. Then I would probably...
You'd have sex with a grizzly bear. A real grizzly bear.
A real grizzly. Probably not. I'd probably die. It would be like that movie with Leonardo DiCaprio. The Revenant. I don't want to be in that situation. I'll be probably torn apart. All right, so I guess that's the show for this week, guys. So a special thanks to Caesar for the great articles on Facebook. That's facebook.com/gaygeekbizarre. If you want to email us, send your emails to show@gaygeekbizarre.com.
Or call and leave us a voicemail at 281-947-2327. That's 281-947-2327. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. We're on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher Radio.
Yes, and go to the official website at GayGeekBizarre.com. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and we'll catch you guys on the next show. Bye.